We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. Yeah! Back to more of the morning shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Rolling along here on the morning shift, it is 8 o'clock, and it is time for our wake-up call. You can give us a call at 404-726-0929 to tell us who you think needs that wake-up call. And this hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today.
Bo's arms are folded.
And start packing. I have that completely memorized now.
You're pretty good at that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And start packing.
I pat myself on the back.
Bo's arms are full. He's about to
call.
Go in on somebody.
You got a wake-up call.
It's got to be for us.
I know. I'm like, it is. It is.
My wake-up call is for...
Spit it out.
Well, I'm trying
you
to...
You
it's not. It's not for you. It's for Squid Nation. Uh-oh. Squid Nation, I know you're out there. I want you to call in and give it to Mike's Muscle and Tiff Time or whatever you... Like, they have been very hateful to me today. They've attacked me numerous times on the air and off the air. In fact, I'm going to take you guys into what happens here in the studio. I had to leave. I had to go to the restroom. And then on the way back, Miss Sandra Golden, who was on the steakhouse today with steak, is out there. And we were talking about the series finale of Succession. And I walk in here and you guys are all quiet. And I said, well, you guys are kind of quiet. No. We were talking until we heard you coming back, and then we stopped, which means they're probably in here bashing me, Squid Nation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're giving the all call to Squid Nation. I will start off with
Squid
the
Nation.
Call,
put you in check.
If that's okay with you.
What's that?
Since it's the Squid Shift. I have a wake-up call for Greg Sankey. Have you guys seen that they have now increased the fines or, changed the fines for rushing the field in the SEC?
So stupid.
Dude, absolutely nothing about this is going to change rushing. We did studies out there. You know, we're challenging the universities to put forth a team of security personnel to, you know, kind of stuff. We've upped the fines, $100,000, $250,000, $500,000. Dude, this is going to, no amount of team personnel or security that you're going to be able to put on the field at these events is going to keep people back from rushing the field at Death Valley and LSU.
I don't understand. Until you impose something on the fans, it's not going to stop. And
exactly.
I don't think that I had my first season at ESPN. I probably had five games with on the field rushes. It was pretty insane to be in the middle of that. I will say that. And I'm not wearing a helmet and pads. Although I could, take some people off if I needed to, but. It is crazy, and there is somewhat of a safety element to that. I will say the fans that I dealt with were actually it wasn't too bad for me. They're actually pretty nice.
What'd you do? Did you just kind of stand still and let it go by? And
I've got to have eyes on the coach because there was one game where I lost eyes on. It was Will Rogers at Mississippi State, and we're like, "Where's Will? Where's Will?" It was a bowl game. But anyway,
SID waving the paper
He was gone. It was they actually still were rolling on camera. So our guys in the booth were making fun of me. It was finding Where's Waldo. You could actually see Will running back because he's such a nice kid looking for me and me somewhere in a sea of people
That's
trying
pretty
to
cool.
find each other.
So but part of what they put in was this.
I went on a tangent there.
No, that was, I think that's a cool story actually. What they're doing is this Jermaine Burton thing in Tennessee, right? Alabama,
yes.
Alabama player.
Yes.
He's not the only one. There's been some around the country, but yes, SEC-wise, that was definitely an issue.
So they've added that security element that they part of this was that security element that you mentioned. But the raising the fines is dumb to me. I the security element thing I like, but like you said, it's going
to
happen.
You can't, like, there is not enough security to be able to be tasked with stopping thousands and thousands of kids from rushing the field.
I'm just picturing these security guards holding hands and, like, trying to hold the line. They're going to get ran over.
And are the kids going to be like, oh, man, we don't want our school to get fined? Like, no, they're not. The kids are not. The kids aren't thinking that. So I don't understand.
Like, it takes two of those kids' tuitions to pay that fine that you're going to incur. So
I'm just not understanding that. But we do have a couple wake-up calls here. We got Derek out of Ellenwood. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, top of the weekend, everyone.
Yes, sir.
My wake-up call is to the all the teens, schools that are in Georgia, college, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Georgia State. Why is it that you can't get the talent that's in the state? You know, don't go for the five-star. Go for the three and the two so you can build your team. Five-star going to come there and get you one and done. So let's get the talent that's in the state and don't let that talent go to other states.
Yeah. No, and I got some interesting insight on this because I've been a high school football coach, and our quarterback at the high school I was at last year signed with Georgia State as a quarterback. And
go Panthers.
Yeah, he was not the five-star, but I think he fits perfectly with the system that Georgia State wants to run, and he's a Georgia kid, and he's going to stay in the state, and he wanted to stay close to home and ended his recruiting before it even started. He's like, if I can go to Georgia State, I'll go to Georgia State. So I think there's a lot to that, but there are also, look, you have to open your horizons and realize that there are other kids that are diamonds in the rough that aren't in Georgia, too. Like, you can't just say, well, we're going to get the diamonds in the rough in Georgia. Yes, Georgia is a recruiting hotbed, all right, but you can go up to Nashville and find you a nice three-star player that wants to come to Georgia State and live in the city and live the city life. So yeah. There's a lot of good prospects out there.
We got Gerald out of Snellville. Good morning, Gerald.
This is Jarrell.
I was going to say, it's got to be Jarrell.
I can't read this morning. My apologies, Jarrell.
It's all right. My first wake up call is for Squid Bully. Why are you bullying Tiff and Mike this morning?
Hey, and I butchered your name too, and you had our backs. I butchered your name.
Well, let me tell you something, Gerald. If you think I'm bullying an all American. And then a former D1 athlete over here. I don't know about that.
Well, let's let him get his second point in before
I
come
back. Yeah.
All right. My second wake up call is for Quinn Snyder and for Trey Young. If you look at the Joker, he told exactly how to do it. Trey needs to work on making assists happen for the team, and he'll get his triple doubles too, and everything. Not worry about all his stats and worry about winning.
I mean, it's a valid point. I don't know if Joker fits in the same category as Trey would, but I appreciate the call. Look, I'm going to go back to him backing us up before I get into this Trey Young thing.
Please do.
Yeah, that was very, like, I know why he puts his arms up in the air whenever somebody calls and said it's the Squid Squad, because it feels really good when somebody has your back. To his point, though, look, this is going to be a conversation all summer long and all throughout the offseason about Trey Young, how he fits, what Quinn Snyder wants to do with him. But I think everybody can agree, and Bo, I'm looking at you, that he's got to be able to what's the word I'm looking for? The assist is obviously going to be a big category for him coming up in Quinn Snyder's offense, is what I'm saying. It's not going to be just one-man ball.
He's got to keep the ball moving. Sometimes the ball stops to Trey, and it's weird. That's been like kind of a knock is with Trey, that sometimes it just stops. He's got to keep facilitating. Trey isn't – you see the way Jokic is passing? He's an elite passer.
Elite.
Trey is an elite passer as
well. That's
why
he's a triple-double machine.
But see, Trey's an elite passer as well. And early in his career, I felt like he showcased that more. I'd like to see him get back to a little bit more of that. But look, that's on Hawks management to have guys there for Trey to get it to who can consistently make those shots.
There were a number of times throughout the stretch run where I was like, the whole game, I was like, man, he's doing a great job facilitating. Quinn's really getting to him. And it seemed like they got in the last 3 minutes and it went back to ISO ball and I have to put the team on my back. And that just – I hope he gets out of that mindset in certain situations this year. That's all I'm saying.
Our boy Ice holding it down in Fairburn. Good morning, Ice.
This is Xavier, Tiffany. Girl.
Oh.
This is Xavier.
Xavier.
That's Dylon's fault. Dylon, come on, man.
Xavier, what's up?
Come on.
Xavier, what's up?
I threw Dylon under the bus. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I've been missing for long, for one. I owe y'all an apology for not calling with the energy in the morning. But the only thing, it was two quick points, and y'all just gave me the second one. But firstly, I was just going to say that to the national pundits, I feel like based off resume alone, Desmond Ridder should have much more, you know, the word we use is upside. His resume in college was better than a lot more quarterbacks that's out here that have seen success, from Josh Allen to just whomever you want to name who were not highly touted. Yeah. And then they had some great combine and all of a sudden, you know, a good coach and all of that. But they don't even give him the upside label. They're just saying, is he good enough? And they're putting all these weapons. Like, he showed you, who the hell was he throwing the ball to in Cincinnati? We don't know. It wasn't Kelsey. Kelsey was gone.
Big facts.
So with all of the things, all of the numbers that he put up, look at him. He's in the annals of Cincinnati's program. So everybody should give him more respect. And also, if Trey had more shooters, it'll look a lot better with what he does. Because when he had those shooters and they got rid of him for the Hawks, obviously the offense didn't look the same. So get him some shooters and we'll be back. He needs people that's going to stop and pop. He can do all the pounding the ball he wants to.
Nice call.
And I saw Des at the Cincinnati game that I had. It was against Temple, but still, he's listening to guys talk about him at that program, talking to Coach Luke Fickell about him during that time. Like, he was a part of elevating that Cincinnati team.
Yeah.
You know, so I just feel like the upside with Des, as we know, is tremendous, which is why he's got the keys to the car this season. And you can't say enough about, I think, the guy, at least the body of work he had at Cincinnati and why he should maybe get some more, you know, credit going into the NFL.
It goes to our conversation a couple days ago about Phil Simms' top quarterbacks list, and literally Desmond Ridder sitting in dead last behind eight backup quarterbacks. He's literally sitting in 40th.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah, Heineke's at 32 on the list, and it's like, dude, what? Like, I get it, man. If that's the hill you want to die on, that's fine. But to Xavier's point, give that man some more respect on his resume.
Yeah.
Like, he's not just some dude that just started playing quarterback last year.
No.
Sounds like Xavier's on the squid squad.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
No, he's
not. He disagreed with everything I said, so.
Well, he made sense, so he can't be on the squid squad.
He actually, we don't have time to get into it, but his Hawks point was very valid, too. Look, if you got shooters, everything Trey's doing looks a lot better. That's a fact based on what you see in this playoff from teams like Boston, teams like Miami. When they're shooting, they're winning. All right? And when you don't have shooters around Trey Young, it's not going to look as good.
Shooters shoot. Hey, everybody, shoot your shot this weekend, like I did with a doctor earlier in the weekend.
Yes.
May not always go in, but you know.
Oh, is that still crickets?
Actually, I'll tell y'all something. When we come back from from break, all right, we will. You got me all tongue-tied here. Diamondbacks and the Braves, they go at it in a series that starts tonight, so the Braves are on the road. We'll talk about it next year on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Mornings on the Game means more of the Morning Shift.
Nice. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're back here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game, Mike Bo and Tiff here with you. It's almost 8:30, and we had the NBA Finals get underway last night. Game one, where the Denver Nuggets beat the Heat 104-93 behind Jokic and his triple-double. The guy can't be stopped.
Let me pose this question,
okay,
y'all. Because we had a fair foul earlier, and I thought both of y'all made great points, because I asked you, was it fair foul, were the Heat going to get swept?
Yeah.
And y'all both kind of touched on Eric Spoelstra and the fact that schematically he's going to make sure that they win at least one.
It's at least going to be a series.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like
you said in six. You said five or six. Without Eric Spoelstra, would y'all be willing to say that this is a sweep?
Yeah.
He means that much.
Well, I think to me, the first two things I think of when I think of the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler, Eric Spoelstra.
You don't think of Chris Bosh? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm talking about this team.
Yeah. Tyler Hero, you don't think
this team?
You know, you mean the guy that might not play for another two games? No.
Yeah.
I think of Butler and I think of Spoelstra because, for one, Spoelstra is one of the three best coaches in the NBA.
First ballot Hall of Famer, right?
Spoelstra?
Yeah.
If he's made, what, seven finals, I think? Yeah. He made four with LeBron and won two, and he's made six. He's made two more. So, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Kevin Love, a Hall of Famer?
You're going to mention because of all the finals teams he's been on?
He's been to the finals every year. He's been to the playoffs.
Here's the thing. Now, remember, there's one thing you got to remember. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame.
It's the
Naismith.
Yeah, the Naismith.
So, yes, because Kevin Love was a very, very, very good college player.
That's a good point.
And he's been a long-tenured pro who's won an NBA title.
Which, by the way, this is different, the way you're putting it. This is different than Football Hall of Fame, because it's not the NFL Hall of Fame. It's the
Pro Football Hall of Fame. And basketball is about
all of them.
College and everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Kevin Love probably would be a Hall of Famer. I can't stand the, but he's not first ballot, because if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. Nobody really cares what how many ballots it took you to make it in, because at the end of the day,
they don't put that on your plaque, on your bust. They don't say, well, it took him seven votes.
And no, they do. They do not.
And 30 years down the road, unless you're just that angry old man and you want to bring up the fact that the Veterans Committee added him, nobody cares. You're a Hall of Famer. Show up when you introduce to speak somewhere, or when your buddy's like, hey, that's so and so. Do you know so and so? He's a Hall of Famer. Boom. Just like I say, look, Mike's an All American. Yeah.
I was thinking of the first ballot thing when I was thinking about Zach Thomas. Did you guys see the video of Zach Thomas getting his? Was it Jimmy Johnson? I think.
Yeah. Yep.
That brought him.
I didn't
see
it.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson pulls up and he's at Zach Thomas's house and he's in front of Zach Thomas's family, and he gets to tell him, because this used to be the guy who used to do this was Dave Baker. Do you remember this?
Well, he still does, but Jimmy,
right.
Yeah.
But
yes.
Now they've started doing people that, are close
to the
significance
career. In your
Dave
career.
Dave Baker's
in
the
life.
Largest human being I've ever been around.
Yeah, I agree.
He's the largest human being I've ever shook the hand of.
Okay, before I had met Dave Baker as Sam Baker's dad, I remember being on the sideline. And I remember turning around talking to somebody, and I was kind of facing the crowd. And I remember elbowing somebody, I don't know who it was standing next to me. I remember elbowing somebody going, dude, look, that's the biggest person I've ever seen. and it's not like a fat thing. Like, he is giant, a giant human being. And it's just funny that you see him in all those videos of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think Randy Moss is one of them. Like, he knocks on the hotel room door.
Yeah,
he's like, hey,
yeah.
Man. And so it is funny to see him in that light, because I know him as Sam's dad and the big dude that used to sit behind us at the Falcons game. So, yeah. But those are cool videos nowadays.
The Hall of Fame stuff, I really – it's one of the conversations, and it might surprise y'all because I'm so opinionated and I love debating stuff so much. But I really hate the Hall of Fame argument, because there's normally people who have not achieved what those people have that want to knock people down and say, no, they weren't good enough. And I think to me, and look, I've had to have
the
conversation.
That's all the Hall of Fame is. It's voted on by people that. Didn't
yeah, they're writers. They at least cover the guys, so they at least most of those guys at least know what the peers thought of them, right? Which is important to me. I think players somehow they should do it where, especially in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and baseball, where players should be the ones to vote. Like if you're in the era of, 1980 to 1995 player, right? then you should try to, they should pull maybe 300 players that played in that era and is so-and-so a Hall of Famer. Now, the problem is you still get people that maybe didn't like so-and-so, but we get that with writers.
100%.
So,
by the way, you get that with writers, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, all the above. Those are I didn't like that guy.
Well, some of those has a steroid thing.
They all have a steroid thing, but that's based off, it's subjective. I didn't like him. True. I don't think he deserves it because he was using performance-enhancing drugs.
But that's different. You're cheating. You were openly cheating the game. Whether it was legal or not, if not everyone is doing it and has open, has the resources to do it,
yeah,
that's cheating.
I agree with you. I'm just saying it's not like there is not subjectivity when it comes to Hall of Fame voting.
Do you think Roger Clemens was a Hall of Famer before steroids?
I don't know. How do you know when he started taking HGH? Like,
well, because he sucked for like 4 years. And then he goes to Toronto when he started working with the one trainer, and all of a sudden he's a 20-game winner again. That's when he started using it. Just like with Barry Bonds, you know that Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before, but then McGuire and Sosa do what they do, and the next thing you know, Barry Bonds' head is as big as Sam Baker's dad, Dave Baker.
Oh my
God. All of a sudden now he's hitting 60 home runs when he was a 40-40 guy before. Or not a 40-40, but a 30-30 guy before.
Yeah. I don't know that Roger Clemens was or was not, but it's an interesting conversation, I think, to have about Barry Bonds.
You can make the argument about Clemens if you go look at his numbers. I know he had the Cy Youngs and stuff. He was great in Boston, the MVP. You can make an argument that he was pretty close to a 500 pitcher, though, after some bad years, that he might not have been one, and then Toronto put him over the top. But that's just my opinion. So if we're just giving my opinions, might as well get to the life of Squid.
It's time for a look back
into the mind of Squid Billy.
Hey, he might even talk sports.
This is the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and by the Georgia Hemp Company.
I think Tiff's looking up doctors on the Instagram right now.
I am not searching anybody.
Looking at the medical directory.
We all have our moments here where we check out of people's conversations.
That's not true. I don't do that. No,
I'm always involved.
I'll say, Mike, you don't do that. Squid, you do that.
Yeah.
That's not true.
I wanted to be like you today.
Well, I mean, everyone wants to be like Squid.
Oh,
doesn't mean you can, Tiff.
Yeah.
I'm going to let that go. I'm not going to say anything.
disappointing MGA night last night.
Little golf.
Man, my little MGA league. Man, I felt so good on the range. Not with my drive, but my irons. I found something with my irons. I was like, I felt really, really good. I said, dude, I found something. First hole. Iron play was still there. No, I hit a.
You felt good.
It was Texas Scramble, so we were using best tee shot, and so my partner had a phenomenal tee shot. Blake just striped it down the middle, and I hit my 8-iron exactly where I was supposed to, distance wise, and it felt good. And then it just kind of went away, but it was like shot. So they aerated the green, so that means they're all sandy and stuff.
Yeah.
And
that's tough, man. So that guys, little grid on there, that's tough.
They put coolers out on the par threes with like whiskey in there. So we
What are y'all shooting? That's what my question.
It
you
was
said
all
it was
whiskey.
Shot day. What?
It was Old Smoky.
Oh, okay.
One of them was Old Smoky caramel.
The moonshine, the quote unquote moonshine.
Yeah, I don't know if it was actually the moonshine. I don't
you
know.
You ever
if
had real
that.
Moonshine before?
Oh yeah.
I had moonshine? I had some a week ago.
The first time you drank moonshine? How did it hit you?
Oh my God! It burned my soul.
Yeah, like you would like if you lit a flame near it, you would
yeah,
it would combust.
Yeah,
combust.
I remember the first time I took a drink of moonshine, and they're like, "Here you go, moonshine." And I turned it up.
Why do I feel like he was 12 when this?
I know. I feel like it was in his bottle. And he drank it next to his pet pig.
I'm sorry, continue.
And that Gerald guy called in and said, I was the bully. Uh-huh. You too.
What?
This where y'all want to be?
I tell a story in your segment.
You took a hateful. Shot on
I took a shot
box.
Of moonshine. And like there was four or five people standing next to each other. And everyone took a step away from me. Because they were like.
Always going
to
go.
Because it was a bigger sip than you were supposed to take.
Big pull.
And I was like. And I was like,
you just did like a Popeye thing.
No, was it in a mason jar? Obviously,
Hell yeah, it was. Come on, man. It was. Hey, dude, it was definitely made in somebody's wooded area behind their house.
I was going to say, don't say their garage. It was like a hut out back of their house by about 30 yards.
Well, yeah. But nothing happened. I mean, I was good. I mean, it did hit me, but did you? Did you take a big one when you have a moment?
Like we took some shine to Wilkesboro a couple weeks ago that I had.
Where did it come from?
Friend of mine.
Okay.
Hooked it
all
up.
Right,
he's
all
got
right,
a
yeah.
he's got a river house in Arkansas.
Hey Tiffany, you trying to tell him to plug right now?
No, I just was like, is this legit? Like how you know, but he said his friend's from the backwoods, so
yeah.
He brought it to me. He actually originally it was a buddy of mine, named Woody. And he brought it to me originally. Yeah. When his phone rings, it has Woody the Woodpecker sound. He originally brought it to me to take to Daytona. And I was like, well, thanks, Woody. I was like, I don't think they're going to let this on the airplane. But I will save it for an event that that is worthy of this. And so when I went to Wilkesboro, that's what I did. Took the moonshine with me.
Anyways, that's the Life of Squid. Brought to you by the W Sauce, America's Worcestershire Sauce. Bigger, better, bolder. Go to WSauce.com. Find a retailer near you. And guys, they have them in Ingles now. So check out your local Ingles for the W Sauce. And my friends at the Georgia Hemp Company and GeorgiaHempCompany.com. Use the code SquidBilly10 for 10% off your CBD online order today.
Braves on the road. They'll take on the Diamondbacks. That series starts tonight. The Diamondbacks trying to turn their season around and continue to try to do that. But maybe the Braves will put a throw a wrench in their plans. That's the expression, right? Hey, we got our Grant McCauley joining us. On the other side, he is our Braves insider. So we will be all over this series just ahead here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Don't touch that dial.
This is the Morning Shift.
All of them are really, really hot on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Thank God it's Friday.
It is Friday, and we are going to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find our Grant McCauley, our Braves insider and host of From the Diamond. Good morning, Grant.
Good morning.
Question. Have you ever had moonshine?
I have not, but I guess it is the topic du jour this morning. I'm not opposed to it, but I think all the moonshine history that I've had was probably just watching the Dukes of Hazzard.
Grant, listen, man. The first time you ever have moonshine, can I please be in attendance? I would love to see such an act by Grant McCauley. Because
we may make it a more quiet affair. We'll see.
All right. Look, the Braves take 1 of 3 against Oakland. Obviously, still kind of on this West Coast swing. What do you take away from this series with Oakland, though? I mean, it was so rough, and it seemed like they kind of sleptwalked through the first two games, and then were able to pull one out in the getaway day.
Yeah, it was a pretty forgettable series, and that might be the understatement. I've really looked at it as, you know, you lose a series like they did in Toronto where the Blue Jays swept them. You lost a series at home in a sweep to the Houston Astros, and you kind of look at those and you're like, okay, well, you know, you've matched up against a couple of tough teams and you know, you just really weren't able to do the things you needed to do. You go out to Oakland, a club that is historically on a pace to do something that very few clubs have ever done, and that's quite possibly lose 110 to 120 games. That's not the kind of series that you want to drop. So I think it's forgettable. I think that the offense bears a lot of the, I'd say, responsibility for things not going well. But, you know, Oakland did appear to, you know, just look a little bit more organized than maybe they have in the 46 losses that they have this season, or 47, I guess, after the finale. But, yeah, it's hard to put a finger on one thing because I don't think the Braves pitched all together that poorly. I don't think they defensively played that poorly. But if you did have to pick something out, I mean, scoring 3 runs over the first two games, maybe that's the easy thing to look at because you would think with a club that you're facing with a near 7 ERA, you're going to just wander into 3-4 runs, maybe a couple of home runs, and put up some big innings. And the Braves simply weren't able to do that until the finale. So it was surprising in addition to being very frustrating. And again, to go back and use that word again, a forgettable series for the Braves.
Yeah, it might have been a forgettable series, but there wasn't one moment that I'd like to touch on, which was Michael Soroka's return mm-hmm. after over 1,000 days. I know this. I know that some people might have read the box score and not like the four runs that were given up, but I thought he pitched pretty well. What was your take on his return performance?
Yeah, I was pleased with it in just the 30,000 foot view, I guess. I mean, yeah, you look at the four runs and you think about it. It's the Oakland Athletics. What exactly happened there? But he really only made one bad pitch to me, and it was one that Ryan Noda hit over the right field wall, just kind of snuck out of the ballpark on him. He said after the game, that's, you know, one or two changeups I would have liked back. I think that was the one that he was referring to, but the velocity was there. You know, the pitch mix was there. It wasn't completely as refined and sharp as we've seen him at times, but when you do factor in this is first big league start in, you know, 1,029 days by my count, that's six innings of four-run ball that I'm okay with. And I think that there are going to be better starts and better days ahead for him, and it's just good to have him back in the starting rotation because the Braves, A, need it, and then B, this is a kid that we've, you know, watched for nearly three years try to find his way back there. And you know, I think he's easy to root for, and clearly the talent was there prior to the injury. This could be a difference maker for the Braves rotation. So happy to see him back. I think it's a good first step. And like I said, I think there are some better starts in the future for Michael Soroka.
Hey, Grant, this is the Diamondbacks team that the Braves are going to face tonight when they start this series that has completely, I guess, done a 180 from where they were last year to this year.
Yeah.
How did they do that?
A lot of young talent and a lot of guys performing to the top level. And I think that the Diamondbacks have kind of, in a lot of ways, look a little bit like what the Braves have done in terms of just being able to grow some players and, you know, see them have success at the big league level. And that's going to be, I think, an interesting series because you're looking at a first-place Diamondbacks club, if I'm not mistaken, who are tied with the Dodgers atop the NL East, the NL West. They have been a very tough club throughout the course of this year. They've got a Cy Young contender of their own in Zach Gallen. They've got some good veteran players. They've also got, as I mentioned, some good young players as well. So, you know, they're finding ways to win. I think that they've got a pretty solid bullpen. I mean, you just look all the way across, and I just feel like there are a lot of similarities in addition to the records of these two clubs as they go into this weekend series. So, you know, if we flash back to a year ago, you know, the Diamondbacks were not an altogether very good team at all. There were some flashes here and there with a couple of players, but you know, the Braves, this time 1 year ago, were trying to figure out how to get to 500 after being walked off to close the month of May by that very Diamondbacks team, then went on a 14-game winning streak to turn their whole season around. I'm not saying that that will happen or has to happen, but it sure would be nice to get some momentum going, particularly after the disappointment of that Oakland series. But it's going to be tough in these three weekend games against this Arizona team.
Grant, A.J. Smith-Shawver gets called up a couple of days ago, and I'm curious to get your perspective. As far as a timeline of when we're going to see him, is this something that you think that Snitker is looking for, like a certain scenario, or do you think that they are simply as an organization picking out a certain day and saying, hey, he's going to go get a couple innings on this day?
Well, I think ideally, if the Oakland series was playing out the way that most people assume that it would, which would see the Braves have a comfortable lead or two during the series, we might have seen him in one of those last two games, but I wouldn't expect it to take altogether too much longer, but I also can understand why a starting pitcher was not put into leverage situations, even against the Oakland A's, you know, in the last couple of games. But I would expect to see him soon, and he's got stuff that can really play up in the bullpen. He throws in the mid-90s to begin with. He's got a very nice breaking ball, so he's got the swing and miss stuff that we've seen in the minor leagues with 45 strikeouts and under 30 innings pitched, an ERA around one. I feel like the Braves just looked at it and thought, how can we get better in some measurable way in the bullpen with what we have available to us in the minor leagues? And he checked a lot of boxes. It kind of feels like when they brought Spencer Strider north after spring training last year, yeah, his future is as a starting pitcher, but they felt like he could help him in relief. So I think that's something they're looking at for A.J. Smith-Shawver, and it might be as kind of that multiple inning guy because they don't really have one right now. They're having to use Jesse Chavez as somebody to come in and get some important outs for him. He's not throwing two innings. You don't have Dylan Lee right now who could throw, you know, four or five outs. And you also don't have Michael Tonkin. He's on the injured list. So I think AJ could kind of fit into that mold where if they need somebody to get them five, six, maybe seven outs, you can look at somebody with this kind of stuff and feel like he has what it takes to compete at the big league level. So I'm excited to see him, and hopefully it's sooner than later.
Grant, how is that's bad. My voice is going. How has Jared Schuster been able to settle in? Because he's been pretty quietly pretty good the last few starts.
I think it's confidence and experience. It's, as I talk about on my show all the time, experience and oftentimes failure is the greatest teacher that we have. And I think that he took what didn't go right in the first couple of starts in the big leagues, particularly with his command, his control, and maybe even just his willingness to just kind of trust his stuff and just go right after big league hitters, trying to be a little bit too fine and ending up walking a lot of guys and getting himself into some trouble. He went down, I think, to AAA, had some good starts in working through some of that, and has come back and simply, I think, just trusts that he can get outs at the big league level. It certainly helps to have a guy like Sean Murphy, a guy like Travis d'Arnaud behind the plate, kind of trust in that game plan as well. And you know, a little bit of the new, I mean, he's still a rookie. He's only got a handful of starts under his belt, but it's not the first time anymore. And I think that he could get a little bit more settled in and get settled in a little bit quicker as well, and just trust that he can do what he's done these last, what, four starts now, and limit major league lineups, work his way through, attack the strike zone, which has made a big difference for him. I think he's kind of enjoying success in the same way that Bryce Elder has. It's not, hey, I'm just going to lay it over the middle and, you know, hope they don't hit it out of the ballpark. It's having a plan. It's using all of your pitches, using that movement, and finding ways to get guys out. I think he's done a really nice job of that.
That is our Grant McCauley, our Braves insider and host of From the Diamond. Grant, where can we find From the Diamond this week?
Yep, you'll find me on Sunday afternoon, 5 to 7 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'll have all the Braves stories from the week that was, and also a nice little look around the big leagues to see what else is going on, and maybe a deep dive into why exactly Bryce Elder has been so good. I'm going to have Alex Fast of Pitcher List on with me this week. I'm excited to chat with him again, 5 to 7 on Sunday right here on 92.9 The Game.
And maybe you'll have you some moonshine.
That is probably TBD.
All right. We can't wait to find out. That is our Grant McCauley, our Braves insider and host from the Diamond. Thanks so much, Grant.
Thanks, guys.
We'll chat it up with Steak when we come back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. We're back here on the morning shift, wrapping things up, and that means Steak and Sandra in the building with us. Good morning.
Yeah, that's why you hear all the screaming and yelling and carrying on. Hey, are we getting ready to do a relay race? What's going on here? I mean,
Is there a baton? Oh, my outfit! Come on.
Are we doing a relay?
She's going to go relay the torch.
Team relay.
It's her ode to the '96 Olympics. You know.
I don't know that Mike's going to be good on that last leg. So if I had to, I'll have Mike. You'll go in second. Bo, you're going first. You're definitely that outfit. You're bringing up
the anchor.
You're the anchor.
I don't know if you heard, but we're doing a show workout after the show.
No,
Monday,
I heard.
As a group,
you're going to
Sculpt House on Monday.
Is that the one in Buckhead?
Yeah.
Yeah, right next to the Italian restaurant. Yeah.
They're gonna have to drag me out by my wrists.
Yeah.
I'm not a big cardio guy, shockingly.
Sculpt House is the thing.
Breaking news.
It's impressive.
Not big cardio.
Hey, is that Italian restaurant by it worth you hitting after?
Yes.
Oh, it's Dorico.
Yeah,
my daughter just got a job hostessing there.
So you can get us a table?
Yeah.
Maybe get us a hookup? You get us in there?
I mean, let's see how you do on the workout first there, Cha-Cha, you know, before I start just, like, you know, making reservations for you. Listen, we're work friends. I don't make reservations for you.
Oh, he said you're work friends. It sucks here. When we walk out the door,
I wasn't mistaken. I'm not sure.
All right, we're coming up. Hey, you guys have a great weekend.
That's it for the morning shift. Steakhouse is next on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Don't make a reservation, by the way.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, They're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.